Hey, this is Expose the Podcast. Thanks for downloading and listening to today's conversation. And thank you for supporting our mission to bringing awareness to domestic abuse. If you've enjoyed today's conversation, please subscribe and share. And we are so looking forward to the journey ahead. I'm not here for long, but we here.
She gonna be here for it's gonna be strong minutes.
Some strong, impactful minutes.
Yes. Strong minute.
Well, there's some other things we like strong and impactive, and it don't always have to take as long, mm-hmm. right? Yeah,
my mind went all the way to the left. Saying. Get out the gutter.
Show your ride.
Let me go.
Lord have mercy.
There you go.
Listen, I'm Natalie Hayden.
And I'm Laverne Badger.
And we are
Expose the Podcast. We should have had them sing this.
I know. Okay, I mean, it ain't too late.
I know.
Maybe, Laverne, y'all think about it. Wrap us on up and send us on up out of here the right way.
Expose the
Podcast.
We've been doing it horribly. We've been doing it horribly for... I've been crackling.
Laverne has been doing it
horribly. Horribly
y'all can't treat them like
years.
Five heartbeats. Like y'all singers didn't
sing. Right.
Put a mic in my face.
Right.
Do something. Yes.
Oh my goodness.
I got nothing but love.
Man.
Well, we gonna jump into it because our girl Nat is on a time crunch, and there's some things we want to get off. First, we got some things we gotta tell y'all real quick, right?
Yeah,
some news, some changes.
Good changes. So, first of all, you know, Laverne and I, we are more than a podcast.
Yes.
And to the grace of God, you know, we've been privileged with the opportunity to work with many of our city youth and many community leaders. In doing this work, you know, healthy and unhealthy relationships, training, education, awareness, prevention, all of that is so important. And guess what? It has grown some effing legs.
Yes. Yes.
And so with that being said, you know, Laverne and I have decided we've made an executive decision.
Because we can do that. Because Tabitha said, because it's our business.
Because it's our business. Yes. Y'all, maybe I can sing a little tune. No, just kidding. But I know. But I mean, so it is our business. And with that, we've decided to take our business to, you know, just shift lanes a little bit. And so we are going to go down from every week recording to once a month.
Yes.
And so really look forward to, you know, some really strong, dynamic, powerful, impactful conversations. And it's not just gonna be us. We are coming with some serious content.
Yeah, so the changes is not just coming and having a conversation with you all for 45 minutes to an hour or guest or something. We love that, but now we're gonna put some more meat to it. Mm-hmm. You know, like we're having our next one is gonna be around relationships. And relationships in the form of how long does it take to really know that he or she is the one.
Does it take all of that?
So I had met some amazing married folks, and I was really black individuals, because that's not what I've ever been used to, that black people are marrying quickly. You know, it's usually
how
these
quickly?
7 and 10 year engagements, you know. So I had met these amazing black couples that when we were sitting around the table and they started talking about how they had met online and then they had gotten married less than 6 months and they've been married 12 plus years. And like, I'm like, they doing it like that? And it just boiled into this conversation that I was really interested in knowing how do you date and say it just doesn't take that long. So that, and that's just going to be a group of us. The setting's going to be a little bit different.
Mobile.
And so, yes.
We're going to be
We're all those things. We're getting subjects and taking it around the city and just bringing it to y'all differently.
Also, look for Exposed just really, you know, now that the things have lifted from the pandemic, look for Exposed in other avenues too. You know, like we're traveling, we are going places, we have conferences, we have teen summits, we have the Black Arts Festival. Like the Milwaukee for us is ready and willing to like hear and have a conversation with us, and we are ready to mobilize this thing. So that's really all that I'm here to say, is that
we leveling up, y'all.
We love y'all. Once a month.
Yes. So I'm excited about it. So
even though I feel like I got broke up with.
Right. Let's talk about
that.
Oh, that
was a tough conversation.
We kept saying, can we talk? And I told Natalie, I said, we can't text it.
We got to talk.
But we got to talk to him in person.
It felt just like that too.
What's happening here?
He's like, what?
We won't be meeting once a week. It'll be once a month.
I mean,
but you will feel it when we come once a month.
Oh yeah.
Hey.
Yes, indeed.
Show your ride.
I can't with you.
You throwing him up there.
Oh man. So you know, to really send us off, you know, Laverne and I, we have so many things going on. We have our 5-year anniversary. It was many reasons as to why we had to make this shift. We just really have to centralize our focus and prioritize, you know, where the need is. And we just really, I'm not a multitasker. I don't do well. I crack under pressure, and I am not the greatest person to myself, and let alone like Laverne. I'm like, hey, I'm struggling, and she's like, yeah, I can see.
Right. But I'm over here, we trying to figure it out though. But so it's teamwork, make the dream work, because some of the things we were both stressing over, and when we finally had the conversation, we were like,
we're on the same page. I love that. So
it's our baby. This Exposed Podcast is our baby, and we, you know, we started off with once a month, and you know, and then we went to once a week because it became to grow momentum and people were watching and stuff, and so that made us feel like we were growing. So to say we're going back to once a month felt like we were going backwards, but we absolutely
it's are, all strategy,
are not
y'all.
Going backwards.
5 years is, later, 10,000 downloads later.
Yeah,
I'm very grateful.
All over the country.
Just like that relationship I told y'all about on the phone. Give me all of you, and all of a sudden, you start getting me pieces away, just taken away. Just be happy, the little breadcrumb you're giving me right now. See,
It's gonna be so much better.
Mm-hmm. You gonna love so that, and it's not a breadcrumb; it's a slice.
It's a whole. So I get a loaf a month.
Oh wow!
And I'm supposed to spread that loaf throughout the month.
We love our engineer.
Yes,
he ain't going nowhere.
All right,
he coming right on with us once a month, wherever we at. He at.
I appreciate the conversation, though. Thank you. How about that? I appreciate the conversation.
This is the perfect segue.
Well, right.
Let's listen.
It's perfect.
Listen, the perfect
time
segue.
Time is winding.
Yes, it is. And so I'm going to turn it on over because we got a lot to talk about. Y'all got a lot
So we have special guests here. And these are women that we both, Natalie and I both know separately. But the amazing part is that they both have amazing voices, and they are singers, and they both have singles out here, music out here. And so today's episode is about celebrating the voices of the women in Milwaukee. Like I just was saying that I didn't know anybody personally who was really doing walking in their purpose through music this way. That was outside of church, you know. Not that they don't sing church music, and they not Christian. I ain't, Lord, how did I go all the way off to the Christians?
But you don't have to do that.
But the voices, you would think you was in the room with Christ, the way these voices sound. So, without further ado, over to my right, depending on where you are, we have Miss Tasha Nicole.
Hey, everybody. Hey, Exposed the Podcast family. Yes.
And over to my left, we have the beautiful Miss Becca. Yay! So let's start off with you, Tasha. Okay. When did you start singing?
So I've been singing my whole life. When I hear my son singing now, and I'm like, he's singing all the time. My mom said I used to do the same thing, get it on her last nerve, singing. So as early as I can remember, 3, 4, 5.
Wow.
Singing.
Did you think you could sing at that time, or you just wanted to sing? Did you feel like you had a voice, or there was something there?
I don't remember. I remember wanting to be able to sing. But I remember the first time when I felt like I can sing. I was probably 11, 12.
So no one told you. You said it to yourself.
Mm-hmm. I sang somewhere and I was like, I think I sound all right.
Okay.
No.
Okay. So when did you start singing, Becca?
I was, since I could talk. But you know, when I was younger, I thought everybody could sing.
Oh.
I didn't know it was something
special. Oh. Yeah. Oh.
I thought it was like talking.
So you wouldn't have, when did you realize it was a gift?
I would say probably like 8 or 9.
Did someone tell you that, or you just kind of was like, yeah, I heard my mama sing and that ain't it. Like, or my brother.
Yeah, I had a couple of friends tell me that I could sing.
When did you guys start to pursue it, like for real? Like when you were like, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to do.
For me, I started early thinking that I wanted to sing and theater. So I started with theater in school. So I was in plays and I felt like I could do that for a living.
Wow.
When I was in high school, for sure.
Wow. You?
That's funny that you say that, because when I was 12, I was in the African American Children's Theater, 11. And my dad put me in, well, my first experience was outside of school. Because I used to sing at school, but it was like everybody, you know, you get a solo, you at school. You
right.
But then when, like, my peers would be like, ooh, like, okay, that means I can sing a little bit.
Right, you know? Right.
Okay, all right.
Okay.
But then I sang at Noise for the 4th of July. I sang Brandy, and I had the most hideous outfit on. It was like a yellow top.
What song from
shorts
Brandy?
I'm sitting up in my room.
Hey,
I was practicing that song for a couple days. I was ready. My daddy put me in that talent show, but then he ended up putting me in the African American Children's Theater. And I learned a lot.
Wow. So was your parents influential in the support that you guys got?
My dad was a pastor, so I sang. You gonna sing in the choir, because that's what you gotta do. Mm-hmm. And I was singing in the adult choir.
Ooh.
As a kid.
Oh wow, that says a lot. That's a powerful voice.
I mean, my voice probably, but I was screaming and singing.
Wow.
As a kid in the adult choir. So yes, my parents was like, but it was kind of like singing the church. Until I got older in high school, and it was kind of like I could do my own.
The genre of music changes.
Yeah, to anything I could put in a cassette tape and tape and record and then listen to. Yeah.
So your parents, you said your dad put you in the
African American Children's Theater.
And so he had the support. So does that make it easier when you have family support, when you're thinking about what you want to do, what you're dreaming about being? Do you think if you didn't have, what would that look like if you didn't have the support from your parents at such an early age?
Well, my parents encouraged me to sing at church. So I often, me and my siblings joke with my mama, like, you could be rich right now. If you had really put us in some real program and got us out there.
No, she didn't.
But you know, you sing for the Lord and that's it. And then my father died when I was 11. And my mom still had 5 children in the house.
Oh.
So it went from just trying to survive, and she was at home, stay-at-home mom when he passed away.
Oh.
So, I mean, while, of course, they're supporting me, but it was supporting me to sing in church.
Yeah.
And with the support to do other things, not maybe that she didn't even want to. It was kind of survival mode.
Right. And what? How do you know? You know, like, if that's not your lane, how do you even know where to go, what to do?
In Milwaukee, too.
Right, in Milwaukee. Because this is not a... And that's why this is interesting for you ladies, is because Milwaukee is not really known for musical talent.
Mm-hmm.
Are they? Do you think so? School me, because I don't know. I don't know. Now, I've heard the rumors and of people who, you know, want to do certain things, and they try to do it here, and then they move away and then become successful in a more... in a, like Atlanta, it's more options. Not that it's a better city, but there's just more options in the entertainment business. But do you find that there's a lot of talent here that's progressive?
I think now, yeah. I mean, back then we had some, you know, people coming out of Milwaukee, but yeah, it's harder. I would say, when it comes to support, but like, if you're ready to move and groove, can't nothing stop you from moving and grooving.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So do you think you'll ever leave or move around, or are you here?
I'm not stuck to one place.
Okay.
I feel like I can be here. I can be in London if I want to be.
Right.
You do whatever you want to do.
Right. Yeah.
I think that for myself, when I was younger, I allowed fear a lot to keep me back. Mm. But now that I have my son, and he's just so talented,
yes.
You know, I want to get him in an entertainment city.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
There's no doubt that I don't want to see him not do
DJ
something.
DJ is amazing. DJ has, you know, it's one of those, her son, DJ is, you know, those interviews of adult stars and stuff, and they say, well, I knew I wanted to do this as a kid, and I used to pretend this, and I used to pretend that is DJ. Like,
well, he told me I was born for the stage. That's what he told me.
And he is going to tell somebody that 20 years from now, with just as long as the sister friend and the honorary sister friends get a guest house.
So
in the
answer
back.
The question, yes. I think about moving. He's 11 now, and he's already, he's probably made more money than me.
Wow.
And shows and theater and commercials and stuff like that. So, yes, I plan to, by the time before he gets to high school, we'll probably be moving.
Okay.
That is one remarkable little boy.
He is extremely talented. Extremely talented. And just charismatic and cute. He a cutie patootie.
And he keep a messy room.
He gonna have some people for that.
That's what he said.
He's out here gonna have some people for that. Cause his mama got some people for her messages that via email. Her people sent us a message. And correspondence. I'm like, yes, come on, with the people.
I can feel you on that when it comes to the kids. My daughter is 14 and she's super talented too. She's right now she dances, but she's a writer and she can make beats, as, you know.
A writer can be anywhere, though.
And she dances and she writes and she makes beats. So I can understand her being in an environment that is affluent to her talent.
Yeah.
But I also want to, like, emphasize that you can make it wherever
right.
you want to make it. But it would behoove you to travel back and forth, not to stay, you know, in one spot, and definitely not to just stay here.
Just to try to provide the best opportunities
right.
for, I mean, and I do still do my music, and I'm still really committed to that.
Mm-hmm.
So would it be beneficial to me too? Possibly. Mm-hmm. But I'm also just thinking about what sets you up for the best chance.
I love that. But from your experience, both of your experiences, taking it to the next level of making sure your children get the certain exposure and set up, because you know better, like, versus what your parents may have known, limited knowledge that your parents would know in that industry.
Yeah.
So, but is it a hard world? Do you know, you want your kids to do what they love in that industry, but then are you fearful for them? Now, DJ's a boy. You got a 14-year-old daughter. You know, the guys that's out there and the praise and the crooks. And does that scare y'all with your children?
Have you experienced any? Like, so for me, I have experienced, like, people coming along and saying, hey, you so talented and whatever, and kind of trying to take advantage a little bit, to the point where I was like, don't call me no more right. times ever.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? Like, because I could, once things got moving, I could see that they was just on some shiesty stuff.
Right, right.
So it is, I've always wanted to be just his mom.
Yeah.
Because I feel like we could hire somebody to do the other stuff, but I need to be his mama and be there so I could just be focused on making sure he's safe and not have to be manager or not have to. But that's just me. Yeah. I know a lot of people are momagers and all of that stuff. I just never wanted to be that. I don't think I had a skill set for it. I got to manage my own self.
Well, that's good to know that, though. That's good to know that.
My daughter be low. She work. So my auntie owns a restaurant, Terry Lands. She works at Terry Lands. Two days out the week, she go to school and she go to dance.
That's it.
Right now. Yeah. Where she's at home with my parents and she has one friend. My daughter be low. Mm-hmm.
So when they start to blow up and get out there and get some exposure, it's just that
she like 50. That she like 50.
she ain't about that life. She got an old soul. She ain't about that life.
She's 7 years old asking me for Betty White cake. Like, mm-hmm. what you want on your cake, Betty White? Like Betty White.
Well, thank you for Betty White, cause let our babies be babies. They always trying to grow up too quick.
Ain't no baby. That's a 50-year-old. Ain't got time for that.
Okay.
No Betty White.
Without saying much. I'm still shocked that you have a 14-year-old because when you look 14 and when I met right. you was probably like 12. So the whole idea behind this all being like you a mama and grown and stuff.
Is of
like,
a whole is teenager.
Like, right.
Yes.
You're right.
Yes.
Amazing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Looking like she 18.
Right.
Damn,
right.
I'm 18.
I'm 18.
Let me not say that because 18-year-olds be hopping in the inbox. They be like, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Hey, be like, boy, where your daddy?
No, I'm not 18.
Get up off my line. Where your daddy?
And the internet and the social media has made these young dudes very bold.
Yes.
They will holler at whoever. They'll shoot their shot.
They'll shoot shot.
Even
I ain't mad at
tell
nobody.
Tell them how old you are. You be like, I'm as old as your mama. It ain't no matter.
Yeah, but you're
right.
Fine.
Right. You don't look like my mama, though. Right. Uh-huh. So, okay, so now we're moving towards our careers, and you know what you want to do. What were some of the obstacles? So both of you have music out there. And you guys are going to hear it very soon. We're going to, the engineer, Our Hands, is going to play some of their music. And
I guess.
But what are some of the obstacles before you could even get to that point to say, I got some music coming out? Have you found anything with relationships, with money? Of course, money helps pay for stuff. But, as being a female artist, did you find, what were some of those obstacles? Or was it easy breezy?
Going right here.
So for me, a couple of things. One is my age, feeling like, you know, I took a long break from pursuing my music. I've always loved to write music and I've written music for other people, arranged background, been in a studio for 25 years or more. But to put your own stuff out there is scary,
yeah.
You know, especially at this age. But so I would say fear and all of that. And then money. You know, it takes a lot of money.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't take a whole lot of money. But if you don't have a whole lot of money up front, then it's time.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I'm investing in a lot of live instruments in my music. So I have to pay those people. And it takes time because I can't just got $1,000 to give you every week for whoever.
Right.
So I would say those two things for me have been most challenging with getting my music out there.
How do you get past the fear?
Do it afraid, knees knocking.
Wow.
Just do it anyway and have somebody in your corner that like believe in you as much as you believe in yourself. Has been helpful to me too. So I just do it. You know, Erykah Badu said, you know what? I'm sensitive about mush. Sensitive, you know. You listen to it 20 times and you think this dope is great. And the minute you let somebody else listen to it, you'd be like, so what you think?
Right. Oh, that's great. That's great. So you, what are some of the obstacles that you found?
Baby. The moment I was like, okay, I'm finna put out. I wrote an album. I'm like, okay, I'm finna put the first song out. All hell broke loose in my life.
Wow.
Like, car got stolen. Like, I had face paralysis. Like, I thought I was having a stroke. Wow. I went to the emergency. My face drooped down. Like, I thought I had a stroke. And they were like, there's nothing wrong with you. It's just, it must be like a palsy. So I had Bell palsy for like a month.
What
and
is
I'm
that?
Like, I'm supposed to sing with Bell palsy. It's when half of your face is drooping. It's not moving.
Okay. Wow.
Right. Wow. I'm too cute for this now. What we finna do? You know, my brother got in a really bad accident. I was worried about him. It just was like everything was just going to the south when I'm supposed to be going to the north.
Right.
But you know, I just kept praying. And
that's when they say God really got something for you, when you all these obstacles is coming. Yeah, something we supposed to be learning and something we have to go through to make sure that we're prepared when we get to the other side, you know. But it don't feel like that when you in the moment, you know, like, okay, God, enough is enough, right? apparently you still push through, right?
I push through a divorce. I done push through my child being put out of school. This is all from December to now.
Wow.
My car being stolen.
Wow.
All
that type of stuff.
Wow. And the music. You write your music as well, right? So your music is written from life experiences?
Life experiences, but I had like a couple great experiences where I woke up in the middle of the night and I just believe an angel gave me the music, gave me the songs. Because they just wrote, like, the song was written to me.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you sit down and you write and you ponder on things and you put words together and try to make it make sense, like, the most clever way you know how. But a couple of songs that I have were sung to me.
Oh, wow.
And I just had to remember them and write it down, remember it and write it down.
Wow. That's powerful. That's something that's supposed to be out there.
Like, for real. And then when I sing it, I felt it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, you can't tell me nothing.
Right.
Because I know you finna feel this because I felt it.
Yeah. Right. So you write music, mm-hmm. So for 25 years. And so where does the inspiration come from, your music? Is it?
I write so much sometimes. I feel like I'm always writing songs. Even when I'm writing in my journal in the morning, I'm like, this sound like a song. But inspiration from life, from my experiences, from what I see other people go through. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I'm a church girl at heart. And I'm always like, people are like, are you a gospel artist? And I'm like, I'm not. But I love God. So, and God lives in me. So sometimes I write and that's what come out. You know,
you like,
I mean?
Fantasia. Fantasia keeps saying I ain't gospel. But
well,
she
I'm not
does
gospel.
She and she just, oh my God, can sing her to her soul.
She anointed
and,
for it.
Yeah, she is and she I know she used to really in the beginning rebel, not to say you're rebelling against, but she would rebel against it because she didn't think it was popular and marketable, right? And so, yes, so that keeps coming out.
Rebelling against it,
but
I don't think
she was rebelling.
Yeah,
she didn't ever want a gospel.
I think she would have been rebelling if she came out with a gospel album. I feel like if I try to pursue gospel right now, I'm gonna be rebelling against God.
Mm.
So because that's not what he's telling me to do. And those are not the songs that he giving me. I can love God and still sing about.
Yes.
When David was writing Psalms, he wrote Psalms about real life. Like, people, my brother is sitting at my table, and it was people in my own household who tried to kill me. That's like me talking about my haters.
Wow.
That's me writing a song about my haters. You're not finna sing about your haters in church, though. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He's a psalmist.
Wow. Yes.
Yeah, she'd be rebelling if she went her own way and said, okay, well, I'm only good enough to do gospel because that's religious. That's a religious mindset. I got more song in me than just when I'm worshiping God, I don't have to worship God on a record or mm-hmm. in front of other people. I'm going to do that regardless every day of my life.
Yeah.
I'm going to wake up, I'm going to worship God. I'm going to go to sleep, I'm going to worship God. I'm going to worship God in my sleep. But when I'm singing to you, you might not be able to relate to how I'm worshiping. I can't take some people on my worship journey with God.
Yes, that is a single that's journey. That's an individual.
Right, but yes. I could tell you about how somebody broke my heart, and yeah. then but it's going to be all right. You know
right.
what I mean?
Right. So do y'all, I know the answer to this, but do music and song heal?
Yes. I have a song called Colors, and I'm all, and like at the end of this song, I just start telling people like what you should do. Buy that house, go back to school, like wow. forgive your mother, forgive your father, ooh. Like tell that person you love them, like do everything that you, write that book, whatever it is that you want to do. Sometimes all people need is the encouragement after they've been through a hard time.
Yeah.
So music does heal. I've listened to songs and felt healing. I've wrote songs that were healing, and I've sang to somebody and produced healing. So I think so, definitely.
Wow. You just explained
listen,
it. Yeah.
Music can heal you and it can destroy you. It depends on the power of life and death is in your tongue. So ooh. What you trying to do?
Wow. That girl, don't go deep on us now, yeah. man.
I'm just saying.
But that's truth. That's truth. Like I remember being made to feel bad because I would go to a church and be like, you know, because their choir was really good, right? Because that almost felt better, or I made more of a connection when I was hearing the choir sing than even the pastor speak. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not always attracted to a church that don't have a choir, mm-hmm. because that's how I connect. And people will be like, oh, you trying to go to church and find a church to be entertained, not look for the word of God. Mm-hmm. And for years I used to feel bad that, am I trying to be entertained?
Well, here's the thing. The worship and the praise is for God. The word is for you. So if you going to give God something, you're not going to church to give God his word. He don't need his word. He is the word.
Yes.
So you come on, if you're going huh? somewhere go. And you want to, that's perfectly okay. Sometimes you go to church and there may not be a word preached verbally, but you still got to a place where you commune with God in that place. So yeah. I don't believe that.
And
at
that's
all.
Not in the Bible. Somebody, this is okay. So listen, back to Fantasia. God may have put Fantasia in the situation that she in because of the level of influence that he wanted her to have in the earth.
Yes.
And she wasn't going to be able to influence as many people and impact as many people as she can with the route that she took.
Right.
Because somebody came up with that whole theology of you just come here to be entertained, and they were a person of influence. That's not even in the Bible.
Right. Come on now. She like, that ain't in the... It ain't.
Nobody's
but it scars... It, people be put... And words matter. Because people... Someone put that in me and made me second guess my walk as to why. Or then I would go to a church where they say... And I would be... sleep. Because ain't no choir, ain't no choir, and I ain't connected to what he's saying. You know, the pastor
well,
is saying.
Music can be the drawing factor. It can be the thing that pulls people in, and it does not have to be a spoken word to do that. So as an artist, that's one thing that has always connected me to people, is that the music that I sing is something that can draw a person in. It can cause healing. It can make somebody happy. It can make them remember. It can make them forget. It can make them happy. Yep. It can make them, it's just so
make them feel
powerful.
Yeah.
Music overall is powerful, and it's cost me a lot, you know, to be doing music sometimes, even in relationships that I've had. You know, it's like you got a job and then you're doing your music too, and you're taking time away from the relationship. Time away from family, time away, money and whatever.
Yeah.
It can cause an issue.
Yes.
But pushing over those obstacles for what you really, really want to do, you know, wow. it has made all the difference for me.
So our engineer, Mr. Tommy, has pulled up the music. Who knew? Before we play this, though, where'd that come from?
My producer, Chris Crane, shout out.
Okay.
Gave me some music. And he was like, I think this is what I want the song to be. And he gave me the first line. Who knew the sun would shine one day? God knew. Right?
Yes.
That's all he gave me. And I probably wrote the song in like 15 minutes. Both verses, the bridge. Thinking about times in your life, or in my own life, where you thought nothing good can come from this. And all of a sudden, from the ashes, you know, things. And who knew that was going to happen? God knew from the start.
Yes.
That things were going to get better. So I was just thinking about when things were bad and how they turned out.
Wow.
You know, it was the grayest day, and all of a sudden the sun breaks out.
Wow.
Who knew? Tasha Nicole.
Saw the tears fall when it all came crumbling down. Watched them walk away when it burned down to the ground. Maybe it was in your hands. Every dream you had, you thought it would come true. Now the seasons have changed. Not a time gone by. Only memories from the tears of your last cry. Finally the light shining down on you. Now you know that there is nothing you can do.
God knew, girl.
That is,
I'm telling you, it's the beat, the everything, the words. It just gives you, that energy. It's just making you feel like you can do anything. It's one of those that's not making you feel sad. It's just inspiring. Like, that's why I like music. Like,
yeah.
I like how music makes me feel. You know, like if I'm in a bad mood, then let me put on something that's going to make me feel a little bit better. If I'm in a good mood or I just feel like I'm super cute, let me go put on some R&B.
Really? You get in the car and you dress and you want to put on some music.
Let me put on something that's going to co-sign this look I got going on right now. When I'm fussing with my husband, let me go and get that too. I'm going to get that so you can play on let me stay in my pity potty being mad at the man, right? But I love that. I love that. So, Jess Becca, it's you. Where'd that come from? Did you wrote it?
I wrote it.
You wrote it?
I definitely wrote it. I wrote that last May. I did.
And from the heart?
Definitely,
personal experience?
Definitely personal experience. Definitely from the heart. And then as I grew from that May to this May, the It's You turned it into me. So it turned into me looking in the mirror and being like, okay, well, yep, you got that because that's what you settled for.
That's good.
Wow. Wow. All right. It's You. Jess Becker.
Baby, it's you that I wanna have fun with. I wanna spend my time with. Maybe we could go see a movie. Baby, it's you that I wanna be alone with. Touching intensely, hugging and kissing. Baby, it's you.
that I wanna fly out with. Baby, let's save up some money and buy a house with. Baby, it's you that I got my mind on, and it's you and only you that I got eyes for. I wish things were mutual, but you got an appetite for something more.
I know some dope, talented people. I'm telling y'all, man. Man. Where can they find the music? Where can they find them? Just Becca, where can they find the music?
Every platform you can find it. You can find it on Apple first. You can find it on iTunes second. It's only $1.29.
Wow.
But if you're struggling, you can go on YouTube. It'll be on there.
It's the visual for me on YouTube, though.
Very, very cute.
Yeah, super cute.
Thank you.
Same.
That photo was done by Trill Collier, Collier Films. Thank you very much.
Hey.
So all the platforms where you can find you?
Okay. Amazon, Music, Prime.
Where they can find you on Instagram and Facebook. What are y'all?
Tasha Nicole.
Just Becca. Just Becca MKE.
Wow.
So quick story, Becca. Back in the day when I was actually being an engineer back and I was working with rappers, people would always ask for vocals from female artists. And y'all probably were taken advantage of most of the time because they just wanted to use you for hooks and sing hooks and whatnot. And I was one of the people who asked. I reached out and said, Skinte asked you. Skinte asked you to do a hook. And he was waiting for you. He said, she's on her way. And we were waiting. I forget where you were doing. I think you're dropping your daughter off to get for a babysitter or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, I'm going to go to the store. He went to go to the store. And I didn't live that far away from the store to go pick up something up. He wanted to go get something to eat. And she came, and she did her thing. And he came back, but she was gone. And he thought I was still waiting for her because I was still arranging the stuff. He's like, let me call where she at. I'm like, she's come and already did the tracks already. She came and did everything.
It don't take that long when you know what you're
doing.
She
knew exactly. She laid, right. And it wasn't like a just like, blah, blah, blah. She laid tracks, doubled them, stacked them, did some, she did all kind of stuff. I was like, wow. Man. It was not long. He was gone for about 10, 15 minutes. She didn't came and went and did her thing. So that's when I was like, oh man, I thought you were done. I hadn't seen you doing nothing out. And you know, and I'm old, so I'm not on social media like that following people, so I don't know what people are doing. So I'm glad to hear that you're still working and doing things. It was awesome.
Well, Miss Tasha Nicole got to run up out of here. We're going to close out too. But we are I'm so blessed that you came and graced us.
Thank you.
Beautiful voice. I know, DJ. We're going to be looking for DJ.
You got to bring him down here.
I don't have no grandkids for DJ, because DJ is finna gonna blow up. He finna make his mark. So what can we look forward to in the future for you? Like, what's the next steps for you?
So I have an album. It's called Chocolate Kisses.
Chocolate Kisses.
Yes.
Where'd that come from?
You know, I've been working heavy in the streets. So I just wanted to, this is like a breakup song, or for me, it's a reflective song for myself.
Mm-hmm.
But, Chocolate Kisses, we need some love in our community. So it's definitely, you know, going to be coinciding with the life that I've lived for the past year or two.
Wow. I love that. Yeah. I love that. Any places you're going to be performing coming up this summer?
I will be posting where I will be. Hopefully, every month at least here in Milwaukee, I'll be performing. I just had a performance at No Studio last month, which was it was a live recording. It was nice.
Was it? I saw it on Facebook, and I was like, man, I wish I could have made that. I really wanted to. I love No Studios. It is just an amazing space to bring your artistic visions alive, you know, and just be inspired. The space itself is just inspiring, you know. So yeah, I can't wait to see something live for you. I think when I first met you, it was at an event. It was
Serena.
It was super cat. It was casual, but not casual. But you came in, did your thing, and like I said, how music makes me feel. Like I don't even remember the song. I just remember how it made me feel in that moment and the words. And I just was like, oh. And I remember meeting you, and I just remember Becca, like, and the voice, and ever since then I've been kind of low-key keeping track of what you've been doing, and so I'm so proud of you. Thank you. I am so proud of you. So we are going to get out of here. Thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure you go and follow Tasha Nicole and Jess Becca, and whether it's all those platforms that they were talking about, reaching out to them, showing love and support, because we got to go out there and support our own, and not just because they look like us, but because they got some dope ass songs and they're extremely talented. That's why you need to support, like, for real, for real. And so 5-year anniversary coming up July, Black Tie event. So make sure that you guys go. Yes.
I might have a date.
Hey.
I'm working on it.
Hey.
Here he go.
We got a seat for you, Tommy. We got a seat for you.
Here you go.
So, I'm taking auditions.
Not auditions. You're bringing a date like you had the date.
I have
already,
one, but
Tommy.
You know, they auditioning it, right now. For it's July.
Oh, for July. It could change from now
it
to July.
It might change. I'm working on it.
She must
a date.
Be smooth because I ain't seen his teeth since we've been in here. So whoever.
Right. That's a good one. I'm telling you, she made them. She started talking about them, girl.
I don't like black people. Black people.
Man. Man, you must be doing something right.
Some chocolate kisses around here. That's what she giving out.
Baby, it's you.
So if it ain't her, she might be the one that show up in July. But yeah,
we'll see.
So head over to our website, Exposed Podcast. We will have tickets up available for sale. They're going to be $35 for the early bird special. That's going to last for about a month. But we will be posting that all in the next couple days. So go ahead, and then we have gotten some amazing coverage on this, and people are buying up tables, and it's only so much that we can hold. We're not trying to overfill. We want this to be a really elegant event that where people can move around. You know, we're still at the Gauge.
Oh, that's a nice spot.
Yes, I love the Gauge. Yeah. It is so beautiful. Yeah. And it's going to be on a Thursday summer evening. So yeah, pull it together. Get our sexy together and come on out. $35 for the early bird. Otherwise, it's $50. Just $50. So we ain't trying to break nobody here. We just trying to make sure that we celebrate the community and give back and acknowledge some of those, including ourselves, of some of these leaders who do work in our communities. Because it's hard out here. But our kids and young people and need us. So we do it for them. All right, you guys, until next month, because we're going to once a month. So until next month, we will see you. All right, peace. Thank you.